This morning we're continuing in this series that we're calling See All the People, and we're looking at some stories in the Gospel of Luke that show us about the life and ministry of Jesus and how he was in a place where he could see all the people. And I'm reading today from Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Jesus came down from the mountain with them and stood on a large area of level ground. A great company of his disciples and a huge crowd of people from all around Judea and Jerusalem and the area around Tyre and Sidon joined him there. They came to hear him and to be healed from their diseases, and those bothered by unclean spirits were healed. The whole crowd wanted to touch him because power was going out from him and he was healing everyone. Jesus raised his eyes to his disciples and said, "Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of the Holy One, Human One. Rejoice when that happens. Leap for joy, because you have a great reward in heaven. Their ancestors did the same things to the prophets. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you have already received your comfort. How terrible for you who have plenty now, because you will be hungry. How terrible for you who laugh now, because you will mourn and weep. How terrible for you when all speak well of you. Their ancestors did the same things to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, this morning, I've included some teaching notes in your bulletin, and I would invite you to follow along as we go through this message together and to write things down as you feel God is calling you to do so. When I was serving in my first appointment down in York County, one of my parishioners was on the board of directors for the York Interstate Fair. And every year he gave tickets to Betsy and me to a concert at the fair. The first year we handed our tickets to the usher, and we were surprised as he led us all the way to the front row, right in front of the stage. We were in the seats at that concert that nobody wants to sit in church. Did you get that? Yeah. Over the years, we were up close to some of the most popular country music performers of the 1980s. The Oak Ridge Boys, Alabama, the Statler Brothers, Willie Nelson. When our friend gave us the Willie Nelson tickets, he said, "You know, Willie ain't much to look at, but he sure sings pretty." And he did. And then we saw Kenny Rogers, too. When the lights came on, we could see that he was wearing green underwear under his white leisure suit. Betsy and I enjoyed those concerts, but we were not as big of fans as most of the rest of the people there. And during the last song, at every concert, this huge crowd would gather right in front of us, mostly women. They would press in close to the stage, and they would sing along with their favorite performer, and they would scream, and they would throw flowers on the stage. They wanted to get as close as they could, hoping maybe for a glance or a smile or maybe even a touch of an outstretched hand. And the performers, well, they just seemed to love all the attention, and it was quite an experience. I picture a scene something like this, that same kind of emotion in the crowds around Jesus. In this scene that we're looking at today from Luke chapter 6, just like in the scene that we saw last week from Luke 4, Jesus encounters a large crowd of people. And they press in as close as they can to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, to be touched by Jesus, to be healed by Jesus. Now, it's noteworthy that at the beginning of both of these stories, Jesus is surrounded by a huge crowd, but by the end of each story, Jesus is pretty much alone, surrounded by just a few of his closest followers. Last week, the story began with Jesus standing beside the lake, surrounded by a very large crowd. But by the end of the story, Jesus was there alone with Simon, James, and John, calling them to put their fishing business behind and to go with him fishing for people. And today, our story begins again with a large crowd around Jesus, and it ends with 12 apostles near Jesus as he gives them what has become known as the Sermon on the Plain. Everywhere Jesus goes, there are crowds, but not everyone in the crowd becomes a disciple of Jesus. There are only a few who step out of the crowd, only a few who leave the old life behind, only a few who join him in his mission. And this morning, I want to look with you at what it was that inspired his disciples to step out of the crowd and follow him when everyone else seemed to fade into the background. There's a quote that will be up on the screen here that I think gives us a clue as to why the disciples stepped out of the crowd. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up the people to collect wood, and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. Disciples step out of the crowd because they are pulled forward by a vision that is of endless immensity, a vision that's rooted in deep love for all the people. In his life and teaching, Jesus casts this great picture of the world as it can be and should be. And it's a vision that's rooted in a deep love for everyone. And here in Luke chapter 6, Luke invites us to focus on the vision of Jesus, the one that draws disciples out of the crowd to follow him. And he invites us to join them as we would step out and follow as well. First of all, with Jesus, there are no hidden figures. Let's look at the first two verses of this passage again. Jesus came down from the mountain with them and stood on a large area of level ground. A great company of his disciples and a huge crowd of people from all around Judea and Jerusalem and the area around Tyre and Sidon joined him there. They came to hear him and to be healed from their diseases, and those bothered by unclean spirits were healed. Jesus came down from the mountain, it says. In the passage just before the one we're looking at today, Jesus had spent the whole night on the mountain. He had spent the whole night with God in prayer. And when morning came, Luke tells us that he called to himself the 12 that he named as his 12 apostles. And so as this story begins, Jesus comes down from the mountain with the 12 apostles he has just chosen, and he stands at a level place. The location on a level place suggests that Jesus is assuming a vantage point of equality. In this position, he is not above the people. He could maintain good eye contact with the people. He could look out and see who was in the crowd. He could read their faces. He could read their body language. He could sense what it was that each one needed from him. Now, unfortunately, we live in a world where some people are hidden figures. Maybe you saw the movie Hidden Figures. How many of you saw that? It was out a couple years ago. A wonderful movie. It was set in the 1960s in Virginia, and it was the true story of three pioneering African-American women who made the calculations for NASA that were integral to the space missions, including John Glenn's successful orbit of the Earth. These women, Katherine Johnson, Mary Jackson, and Dorothy Vaughan, were wonderful mathematicians and engineers. And they accomplished this despite starting their careers in segregation-era America and facing discrimination at home, at school, and at work. Now, though these women made great contributions to NASA, they were pretty much largely unnoticed in the space program. And not only that, they also faced discrimination at work. Even when it came to the restrooms they were allowed to use. Now just imagine that you are working in an office and you have to use the restroom. And there's a restroom just down the hall from you, but because of the color of your skin, you aren't allowed to use it. Instead, you have to walk across a big parking lot, through a long corridor in another building. It takes you 20 minutes each way. But if you want to use the restroom, that's where you're required to go. Rain, snow, whatever the weather, you had to go there. In one poignant scene, in the middle of the workday, Katherine Johnson makes the long trek to go to the bathroom. And on the way back, it starts to pour down rain. And she returns to the office soaking wet, only to be met by her boss, played by Kevin Costner, who is quite agitated. In front of the whole office, he asks her where she has been and why she has been gone for so long. Now, let's pick it up there and let's listen to what she says.
There's no bathroom for me here.
What do you mean there's no bathroom for you here?
There is no bathroom. There are no colored bathrooms in this building or any building outside the West Campus, which is half a mile away. Did you know that? I have to walk to Timbuktu just to relieve myself. And I can't use one of the handy bikes. Picture that, Mr. Harrison. My uniform, skirt below my knees, my heels, and a simple string of pearls. Well, I don't own pearls. Lord knows you don't pay colored enough to afford pearls. And I work like a dog, day and night, living off a coffee from a pot none of you want to touch. So, excuse me if I have to go to the restroom a few times a day.
In the very next scene, Mr. Harrison has a board in his hands, and he's knocking down the signs outside the restrooms down the hall that say whites only. And I wanted to show you that scene, but Mr. Harrison uses some words that we don't say in church. But I can't help but wonder as I watch this, who are the hidden figures today? Who are the ones that go unnoticed? The ones that face discrimination? The ones that feel unwelcomed? And what would they say to us? Jesus comes down from the mountain and stands on the level. With Jesus, there are no hidden figures. Jesus meets every person in the crowd just as they are. On the level ground, he removes barriers, he offers hope, he builds relationships, and he calls his disciples to do the same. So following Jesus, his disciples see this vision in which there is a world with no hidden figures. And then he shows them something else. Secondly, they see that with Jesus, there is power that makes the wounded whole. Look again at verse 19. The whole crowd wanted to touch him, because power was going out from him, and he was healing everyone. Now just pause for a moment and notice that the whole crowd wanted to touch him. Everyone wanted to touch him. There was not one person in the crowd that did not have some need that they were looking for Jesus to heal. Now, Jesus accepted everyone just as they were, but Jesus certainly did not want anyone to stay where they were. The power to heal goes out from Jesus. And when the power goes out from Jesus, it transforms the person that receives it. Luke says he was healing everyone. And that same power, the power that makes the wounded whole, still goes out from the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Not a one of us is without some need for that power. What is your need today? Jesus has the power to heal you. Jesus has the power to heal your grief. Jesus has the power to forgive your sins. Jesus has the power to restore relationships. Jesus has the power to bring peace to troubled souls. Jesus has the power to motivate people to take the next step he's calling them to take as they follow him. With Jesus, we have a vision in which there are no hidden figures. And with Jesus, we have a vision of a power that makes the wounded whole, a power that is available to us, and a power that we are called to share, the power of love, with the people around us. And then there's one more thing in this vision of Jesus, as reported here in the Gospel of Luke. With Jesus, there is a call to action. You can't be around Jesus without being called to do something about it. And we notice that unlike the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, this Sermon on the Plain in Luke is not preached to a whole big crowd. Luke tells us in verse 20, Jesus raised his eyes to his disciples. So this sermon was for those who had stepped out of the crowd and were close to Jesus. People like you and like me. Now I'd like to read this next section aloud. This section that has blessings and woes. And I'm going to ask that if you're on this side, you would read the verses that Jesus tells us what the blessings are. And on this side, please don't take it personally. You read the woes, okay? So here we go. Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. But how terrible for you who are rich, because you have already received your comfort. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. How terrible for you who have plenty now, because you will be hungry. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. How terrible for you who laugh now, because you will mourn and weep. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name because of the human one. How terrible for you when all speak well of you. Their ancestors did the same things to the false prophets. I think Jesus wants his disciples, those close to him, to hear two things as he gives this sermon on the plain. The first thing he wants them to hear is to get their priorities straight, to value the things of his kingdom above the things of this world. If you want to find true joy in life, he says, you find it not in riches and having plenty and entertainment and being popular, but you find it in relationship with the one who sees all the people. And secondly, these words invite us to see all the people. We are called to see not just the rich, the comfortable, those who find happiness in the things of the world, the popular. We are called to see the poor, the hungry, called to see the grieving, called to see those who are persecuted, those hidden figures, those people who face many obstacles. Jesus looks at his disciples. He lifts his eyes to you and to me, and he asks, will you see all the people? Will you care for all the people? I believe that all of us have a next step to take as disciples of Jesus. And you'll notice in your teaching notes today that I've included sort of a reference for you to use to discern what your next step might be. Perhaps the next step for you is that you would set apart some time with Jesus, to study his word, to be in prayer with him, so that he might make you more sensitive to all the people he calls you to see. Maybe Jesus thinks the next step for you is to pray for a specific group of people or a specific need in your community, that we might ask what he wants us to do in response to that need. Maybe Jesus will call you to serve others in the community. I know that many of you are involved in reaching out to your neighbors through local missions and through going on mission trips and work camps. And perhaps for you, that's the next step. Or maybe it's to intentionally build some relationships with people that aren't Christians. We can get so caught up in our friendships with each other in the church that we don't really get to know people, the very ones that Jesus wants us to see. Or perhaps for you, the next step is to continue or to step forward in your giving to support missionaries and mission projects. Jesus calls us. He calls us to join with Him in the fulfillment of this great vision. A vision of no hidden figures. A vision of power to transform people's lives. A vision that calls us to action, to love, and to serve in His name.